When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
If you listen to this podcast, you clearly appreciate quality. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
Welcome to another podcast. It's liesoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us today, the associate editor of the Capital Times and also correspondent for The Nation, John Nichols. John, welcome to the show.
Pleasure, my friend.
Well, she put a handgun in one of her ads. She put her foreign car, her Toyota,
yeah,
and some people dressed up as Trump supporters that she labeled union thugs in another one of her ads. And now she's in a little hot water over what she said on one of Charlie Sykes' TV forums back in 2016. That's Leah Vukmir, Breitbart, going after the state senator from Brookfield. What is going on, John?
The nasty, nasty race for the U.S. Senate. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. Wisconsinites in the U.S. Senate race on the Republican side face the worst choice in the history of the Republican Party since it was founded in Ripon in 1864. You have a state senator who literally has led the fight to attack workers, attack, you know, small towns, attack rural schools, attack, you know, basically every bit of the framework of the Wisconsin idea, and who is clearly in hock to the Koch brothers, who literally is an ALEC leader nationally, running against a young guy who's never held public office, who is entirely funded by an Illinois billionaire. I shouldn't say entirely funded, but overwhelmingly funded by an Illinois billionaire. And so you've got these two candidates who have, you know, zero to recommend them and who acknowledge they aren't loyal to Wisconsin. Literally in the last debate, they both went on and on about how they would choose Donald Trump over Wisconsin farmers, and they'd choose Donald Trump over Harley. You know, they're given the choice between, you know, Trump's tariffs and farmers, Trump's tariffs and Harley. They refuse to stand up for Wisconsin farmers. They refuse to stand up for Wisconsin workers. And so they're in this situation where they've got nothing to recommend them. And as this race, you know, goes into its final stages, it's turning very negative. It's turning ugly.
Well, here is Leah Vukmir on Charlie Sykes' Insight 2016 show at the Country Springs Inn in Pewaukee. I've been there. I used to get invited.
When Charlie was a conservative.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so here's Leah Vukmir talking about Donald Trump.
We're saying she spoke to a lot of women who said, you know, yeah, he's offensive, but he's offensive to everyone. He's offensive to women. He's offensive to men. He's offensive to little people. He's offensive to fat people. He's offensive to everyone. I mean, he offends everyone. And so I think ultimately, if our goal as Republicans is to defeat Hillary Clinton, there are going to be a lot of people do this if they want to.
Yeah. I personally won't be one of them, by the way, holding my nose and doing that.
She literally plugged her nose. But if you listen to her wider comments, she was sort of doing political analysis. And the point she was making was that Hillary is so unpopular that even though Trump is detestable, he still has a chance to win. The funny thing is, her analysis was spot on.
Yeah. But no, I mean, look, Vukmir, the one thing you can say about Vukmir is she's smart. Politically, she knows her way around politics. She's a career politician.
Yeah.
She's been doing it for decades. And so she knows the game. And also, remember, in that context, she knew the game, right? And the game that they were involved in there, what Charlie Sykes was doing then, and Charlie, of course, is, you know, kind of a pioneer of so-called never-Trump conservatism, right? I.e., that it's an effort to define conservatism as something nobler, more honorable than Trumpism, right? And that's it's a hard fight. I would argue that conservatism is the root of Trumpism, you know, at least contemporary conservatism, especially as it developed in Wisconsin.
It started with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I think you can even trace it back to Nixon's Southern strategy and things like, you know, I mean, the fact is, one thing you can say for absolute certain, it doesn't trace to Dwight Eisenhower.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could say there are honorable Republicans who really did do the right thing. And frankly, there were a lot of them in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a place with a very mainstream Republican Party that even into the 90s, kind of, except for a brief period in the early 60s, kept the fringe at the edge, right? But unfortunately, when Tommy Thompson left as governor, you know, the things kind of fell apart, obviously. And so you saw this, what happened there. Now, what Charlie Sykes did, and you can love the guy, hate him, do whatever you want about him, but what he did try to do for a substantial period in 2016 was shore up a conservative movement in Wisconsin that was extremely conservative, literally in some cases to the right of Trump on some issues, but objected to Trump, right? And he cheered that on, he egged it on, and brought, because of his great influence, you know, and he was an incredibly influential talk radio host, he brought a lot of Wisconsin politicians into the circle, right? And I think, in fairness to Gutmier, that's the way to see that discussion, right? That, you know, sitting there with Charlie Sykes and those folks talking about Trump, I mean, that was what they were all saying, or at least a lot of them were saying, right? Unfortunately, what has happened in the, you know, year and a half since then is that, or what am I saying, 2 years since then, is that the Republican Party has been, you know, Trumpized, right? It is essentially bent.
Well,
totally.
He won the election.
What's more than that, though? He's also demanded immense loyalty, right?
Right.
And been willing to intervene in primaries on behalf of people. You know, he's an activist political figure trying to transform the party.
Ask Congressman Mark Sanford. Here is.
Let me finish this one thought before you play that last bit. All I'd say is that means that things that were said in 2016, right, look radically different in the context of 2018. And that, for Buchmeier, is a big problem.
Here is Leo Buchmeier the other day on the Fox Business Channel.
You're a strong, consistent conservative. Your opponent in the primary, Kevin Nicholson, he told us a couple of weeks ago that he was all for President Trump, backed him solidly, 100%. That's him. Do you back him 100%?
I have always been there with him. I've stood with him. I continue to stand with him. I was part of the Women for Trump radio ads that went out during some of the darkest moments before the election when people were walking away from him. I'm proud to stand with him. I want President Trump to succeed. When he succeeds, America succeeds. And he is succeeding. He is winning. And I'm excited to stand with him. And you know what, Stuart? It's what I'm hearing from people all across this great state of Wisconsin. They like the fact that he's a strong leader who says what he's going to do, and he follows through, and he does it, which is what we've done here in Wisconsin.
Leon, I'm terribly sorry to interrupt.
Evidently, she was talking to different people that answered the Marist poll. So evidently, Leah thinks the beginning of time started in August of 2016, and what took place between June or July of 2015 and the summer of 2016 doesn't count.
Well, yeah, look, and a lot of these people made a huge miscalculation, right? And there's no forgiveness for it. Let's be clear. The Never Trump people in Wisconsin bet on Ted Cruz as the great hope, right? I mean, it was literally the worst miscalculation that I've seen in contemporary politics.
You know, I don't like it. I don't like it when you bash Canadians.
That's true, you know, and a true son of, is it Alberta?
Alberta. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But the weird thing about it is Ted Cruz was never going to go a step beyond Wisconsin. It wasn't going to work. He was going to lose and lose and lose and lose. That was obvious to anyone who was paying attention. And also, Ted Cruz was such a, you know, loathsome figure that even people who didn't have a great affection for Trump were not going to get excited about Ted Cruz. And so what the Wisconsin Republicans did was a massive miscalculation, right? Then those in elected office ended up in a dire circumstance because they had been the loudest anti-Trump people, right? They had been incredibly ardent in their critique of Donald Trump. And you know, look, I will say in some cases, including in many cases with Charlie Sykes, quite honorable in their critique. When it got, when you know, it got tough, they stuck to it. At least some of these folks did. But those in elected office found they had to make a choice. And for Leah Vukmir, she ended up in a situation where, you know, her, you know, bumbling, ridiculous, absurd, politically foolish, you know, calculus of early 2016 with the Ted Cruz stuff and, you know, with all these efforts to try and find an alternative to Trump, she wasn't going to stick, going to stay honorable. She hasn't. And so then you had to deal with this new reality. Loyalty and teaching his supporters to demand immense loyalty. And so across the country, what we have seen is these litmus tests. Now, Vukmir might survive in this primary because remember, Congresswoman Roby down in Alabama survived her runoff. But remember, she was forced into a runoff because she had simply, you know, been critical in a way not different.
Well, I think geographically this is going to be very interesting in how this Nicholson, you know, she's certainly going to win the Ring of Fire. But what happens outside the Ring of Fire and what kind of margins are going to determine who's the nominee? Here's an ad.
I'm also not even sure that's, by the way, I'll offer, she'll win that Ring of Fire, but it's by how much she wins
the Ring of Fire, right?
Because Nicholson's been on radio massively in that region.
Well, his super PAC ads spend the money to spend for him.
He hasn't spent the money.
Yeah, you know, he got the endorsement of former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens in one of those ads.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh, no. I don't know if Greitens endorsed him. I think he just compared himself. His supporters compared him with Greitens.
I'm just teasing, but the truth is Eric Greitens, there was a clip of Eric Greitens.
Yeah, I know.
In a pro Nicholson ad. Okay, so here is an ad that's run against Leah Vukmir right now.
Leah Vukmir claims to be a conservative, but that's not how the pieces fit. Hypocrisy. She bragged about turning down pay hikes, but quietly pocketed a pair of pay raises. Big government. Vukmir voted to expand the power of government to take private property and give it to developers. Insider games. She even supports hiding the names of politicians hit with sexual harassment claims. Leah Vukmir. She's no conservative. CFG Action Wisconsin is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And you know, in fairness, that's true.
He is a walking, talking cliche. Stand by. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation here at SliceOffice.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SliceOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SliceOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, our friends at S&R Remodeling, and our friends at the Axley Law Firm. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times again. I want a brief reaction to some of the ads. The Democrats are all kind of, you can kind of tell they're all going for what they think are the people that are most likely to vote for them in a primary. Very different strategies. We'll start out. This is Malin Mitchell's ad.
Scott Walker, we need a stronger vision for our future. Instead of investing $1 billion in handouts to companies like Foxconn, I'm going to invest in our kids and our work.
Well, that obviously is not Malin Mitchell.
It doesn't sound like Malin.
Yeah, let me... Yeah.
A fresh new leader for Wisconsin, Malin Mitchell for governor. A firefighter since he was 20, elected union president by firefighters from across the state. A dad who does outreach for at-risk kids. Malin Mitchell will unite Wisconsin and bring us back together.
I'll take on corporations to raise wages, return the money that Walker stole from our schools. And I will fight against racism and division because our kids' future depends on it.
Okay, now let's play Tony Evers' ad. He just went up on TV.
Scott Walker, we need a stronger vision for our future. Instead of investing $1 billion in handouts to companies like Foxconn, I'm going to invest in our kids and our workers.
Tony Evers, a former teacher, now superintendent of public schools. As governor, he'll invest in public education, early childhood, and technical training.
What's best for our kids is best for our state. That's why I'm going to make sure that every kid gets a great school no matter what the zip code.
And here is Kelda Royce.
Just when you think it can't get any worse, it does. In Wisconsin, abortion is still a crime. And I can't believe that I'm having to fight the same fights that my grandmother fought. You know, as a parent, I think about my daughters. I tell my girls, we can't look backwards. We have to move forward. We have to build the future that we want. I'm Kelda Royce. As your governor, I'll lead Wisconsin forward from day one.
And finally, Milwaukee attorney Matt Flynn.
There are 8 Democrats running for governor. I'm Matt Flynn. I'm the only military veteran and the only one taking a stand to stop the Foxconn deal. Scott Walker's corrupt $4.5 billion corporate welfare giveaway to a Chinese company, all while Trump and Walker put Harley-Davidson jobs at risk. My first day as governor, I'll go to court and stop Foxconn and invest those funds in better schools, healthcare, and roads.
Democrat Matt Flynn, beating Walker, stopping Foxconn. Let's win with Flynn.
All right, your reaction to those ads?
It's a good set of ads. I would say that the Kelda Royce ad stands out. It's got a little more of a, you know, kind of human connection, a little more biography, and it takes a very, very strong stand on an issue that, frankly, if you look at Democratic primary voters, is one that a lot of them are going to worry about. The Evers ad is a general election ad, by and large. I mean, it wouldn't be much different if he was running it in November. And so that makes it a kind of opposite in some ways of the Royce ad. And the Malin Mitchell ad, I think is especially effective right at the end, you know, where he does talk about healing racial divisions, you know, because our future depends on it. He's A, right about that. B, also, it's a strong appeal. I think that there's an awful lot of Wisconsin Democratic primary voters who get that. Finally.
Well, and what about the, he's making an appeal, obviously, to labor in that ad.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, that he's going to his strengths, and I think he does it pretty well, you know, and I mean, I think it's pretty effective ad in that regard. Finally, the interesting thing about the Flynn ad is Flynn's ad might be, and I think he's had a rough race, but Flynn's ad might be the most direct appeal to people who simply want to get rid of Scott Walker. right? And that, remember, with Democratic primary voters, that's a huge portion of the electorate. And it's interesting, what Flynn goes to there is a specific issue, right? Now, he subtly does another thing, and I'll talk about that in a second. But he goes to a specific issue, Foxconn, and just sort of rips into it and makes it clear that he would use it as a tool to take down Walker. That's a classic political move, saying, you know, what Walker thinks of as his greatest strength, I'll shred him on that. And this whole idea of win with Flynn, and that he's the only candidate who's doing this. And in truth, other candidates are talking about Foxconn. Even Evers mentioned it there. But Flynn is I think, putting together a very strong...
Well, he's saying he'll cut up the deal.
Right. I mean, that's it. And but there's also another subtlety there that where he starts out, he's the only veteran in the field, right? I think there's another thing that Flynn's doing there, which is, you know, frankly, going for older voters and going for voters who, not that young voters don't appreciate someone who's a veteran, but you know, he's kind of making an argument. Look, I'm somebody who fits a very classic mold, a very classic image for a successful candidate for statewide office. And you know, distinguished lawyer, veteran, you know, this guy with a strong stance. And so I think that Flynn's doing something that's distinct there. In a way, you can say that each of them are making their appeals, try to aim for portions of the electorate. But again, I'll say that if you were to put those four, you know, just in front of, I think, any set of neutral folks, I think the general sense would be that the Kelderoy's ad was kind of the most striking of the group.
Obviously, she has to shake up the race if she's got a chance at winning. I'm sure the numbers look a lot different now that these ads have been out. We just have no idea if there's any sand shifting as of yet. In 1992, when Jim Moody and Joe Shikota were blowing each other up, and Russ Feingold came out with these ads that, frankly, a couple of them only ran a couple times. The bio ad with the
so much publicity,
but it got so much coverage before he ever went up with his full slate of ads. Here's an unknown fact: he was ahead because he got so much media attention on his ad before most of his ads ran in the primary, and he didn't have that many ads. He was ahead because they'd blown each other up, and he'd masterfully come up with an ad that got so much attention. I don't think Kelda's ad has gotten that kind of attention, but I'm sure she's gained some ground.
I think she probably has gained some ground, but there's also another dynamic there. Remember, that was a two major candidates and a third guy coming up on the edge, right? In this case, you've got this broad field of eight candidates, and there aren't two front runners tearing each other up, right?
Not yet.
And so, and it's getting pretty late. And so, as a result, that opportunity, the opportunity that Feingold had in that race, it hasn't been reproduced. I think for Kelderoy's, who's had a pretty good late spring, early summer, a lot of things have fallen her way. That final element that the front runners are kind of, whoever they are, I mean, aside from Evers, are tearing themselves up, that isn't there. And so it makes it harder for her to, you know, with a creative ad, close a gap.
By the way, hilarious. The other night on Channel 3, Neil Heinen's editorial, which I usually find pretty funny, he did an editorial. He was very angry that Matt Flynn was calling Foxconn a Chinese company.
Yeah, when it's Taiwanese.
Yes. So he's very angry.
Get it right here,
and he was inferring that there was some sort of racial intent.
Ooh.
Well, the truth
well,
is.
Well, I mean, I'll give Neil his critique.
I said, you know, where does Foxconn employ the majority of their employees?
China. I think it is in China.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Although they're moving around throughout, you know, the Asian tier. Look, here's the thing about Foxconn. I do prefer to refer to it as a multinational corporation, right? Because I think multinational corporations have too much power, right? And I would like us not to be, you know, so deferent to multinational corporations, no matter where they're headquartered. It happens that when you refer to Foxconn, I do think it's better to refer to it as a Taiwanese corporation. But
I don't really believe Matt Flynn is appealing to xenophobia.
I don't think that's what's going on there. But I'm not surprised that argument has risen.
Well, what else? If you remember, it's interesting. If you remember, Channel 3 and their editorials over the years, starting back in the early 90s, have been some of the biggest cheerleaders for free trade. Love it.
And I was going to say, they love
free. Neil Heinen and Channel 3, they just love free trade. All right, let me play. Scott Walker is running an ad on Foxconn.
Hi, I'm Scott Walker. When it comes to job creation, Wisconsin's on a roll. Amazon, Haribo, Generac, Milwaukee Tool, and this is where Foxconn is building the largest economic project in state history, creating 13,000 family-supporting jobs. Foxconn will earn tax credits based on actual investment and job creation. No jobs and investment, no credits. Foxconn will help small businesses all over the region and keep Wisconsin working for generations to come.
It'd be fun to fact check that ad. But beyond that, that's the one running in the Milwaukee market. He is running.
Not the rest of the state.
Not the rest of the state, but he is running regional ads. Wausau, Green Bay. There was another one as well, because Foxconn has, dabbled a little bit with a little of this here and a little bit of that there. So he's trying to make this look like this. The state is going to gain. So he obviously knows he has a Foxconn problem.
Oh yeah, Scott is a smart politician. I mean, he's very, very capable. He's been at this now for the better part of 35 years, so more than 35 years. So he knows his way around the game. When I say 35 years, by the way, I'm referring to his youthful indiscretions as a conservative. Here's the interesting dynamic on that. People who are listening couldn't see the ad, but am I not correct that in the ad that's running, at least in the Milwaukee area, he looks like Dukakis in the tank?
He has a helmet on his head.
Yeah, and like weird glasses and all sorts.
Well,
of
yeah,
stuff
it's like that. It takes us back to that moment in Iowa when he was in a Harley. You remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, by the way, I think all of those things that people are wearing there, totally appropriate if you're working on the site, right? But Scott Walker isn't working on the site.
I don't think Scott Walker...
He's running a political ad.
I don't think Scott Walker has ever worked on a site, although he had that terrible kitchen mishap where he hit his head on the cabinet and has caused that loss of hair.
He was doing some work.
Yeah.
So here he is. This is the thing. And this is the odd part about it. I think usually Scott Walker's, political instincts are pretty spot on. He's pretty savvy about how to do stuff, except when he runs for president. But in this case, trying to dress up like a worker, right, makes him look odd, makes him look strange. He could totally appropriately go to that site, where obviously... there's no big boom, flying around or no big, equipment in play as he's cutting the ad. It would be too noisy for him to do the ad and dress as how he normally dresses, right? But instead, he goes for this kind of image stunt. And at the end of the day, I think it fails. I think he actually... he's trying to make an argument, and give him his due for making that argument. I may disagree with him, but he's trying to make an argument. But in trying to pretend, he's like, yeah, I'm on this site here, giving him instruction. You want to move that equipment over there, right? He's not a hands-on guy in this. All he did was promise these people a lot of money.
I think he should have filmed an ad in Mount Pleasant, going door to door, telling people that their homes were going to get bulldozed. I think that would be
one way to do it. Or drinking water, from the area. I'm drinking a glass of water from here, and I'll do it again. you know, after Foxconn's in operation, which, by the way, if you know the history of Foxconn and water in China and in other places around the world, that would be a very brave commitment.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation, thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.